Hello, I'm Paul.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Ben.
And welcome to the Film Busters podcast. The film show with no filters, no prisoners taken, loads of disagreements, but one hell of a love for cinema.
If you want to hear three friends ridiculing each other for an hour or so regarding their taste in films, then you have come to the right place.
In each episode, one of the team picks a film for us to discuss. It could be anything from a recent cinema release to an all-time classic.
So, strap in and get ready to get mad or get vindicated as we guide you through the murky world of being a film geek.
If you like what you hear, you can also find us on Twitter and Instagram using @FilmBustersPod. You can also find each of our individual accounts. I'm at FilmBustersPaul.
I'm at FilmBustersAdam.
And I'm at FilmBustersBen.
If you want to use your eyes instead of your ears, you can also visit the website at filmbusterspod.co.uk.
And if busting makes you feel good, you can also support us at patreon.com/filmbusters for exclusive content.
All right, can we just get on with this now, please? Filmbusters.
Right, everyone, we're back again for our double record. Ben's still missing. He's still away on holiday. No one knows where he is.
Sunning himself up in an island somewhere.
Yeah, off-grid. Yeah. And we've been getting some feedback and some pitches from him. He's been driving around on his own boat.
He's had a boat. He's had some cocktails named after some Harry Potter people.
But yes, he seems to be having a wonderful time. So we're very happy for him, and we're happy to fill in the meantime until he comes back.
Yes, and we've got one more
on our own podcast.
Yeah, we've got one. Is this the last one we're doing without him? We've got another one.
Yes, no, last one. He'll be back for next episode.
Yeah, so don't worry. If you're getting tired of just the sound of our voices,
I know we've been too happy. You know,
I know
we need a grumpy man to come and to
some
sort us out
in the podcast.
Yeah, and I feel like it's going to be more love in this episode.
Well, yeah, hopefully.
I hope so, but no spoilers yet. What are we doing today, Adam?
We are talking about Pride from 2014.
Yes, indeed. Well, basically, these two episodes, what we've done is we've gone on our Letterboxd and we each picked a film that was high rated on each other's Letterboxd ratings, basically, and what we hadn't seen. Mm. So first we had The Red Turtle, which I'd never seen, and I picked off of Adam's list. And yes, today we're doing Pride.
Yes, which I picked off Paul's list.
Yes.
You could watch this on Disney Plus in the UK.
You can. Or you can watch it on a beautiful steelbook that I created for my own collection.
Oh, wow. Did not know that.
I'm very looking forward to talking about this film with you. I just want to get your thoughts. And it's been a long time coming. We've spoken about this film many times. On many a patron episode,
yeah,
mostly.
Exactly. It always one of those that keeps coming up in all the lists. And
yes. So I think it's about time we put it into Filmbusters canon. So, there's no quiz, obviously. Ben's not here. So we pretty much go straight into it. But before we do that, let me just say, we've got a Patreon channel at www.patreon.com/filmbusters, where you can get exclusive episodes, you can suggest films for us to do, you can come on the show. It's all very beautiful. What are we doing on the Patreon after this episode, Adam?
We are talking about our favourite films that portray LGBT plus stories.
I've got a great list.
Yeah, I've got quite a few on my list. It was... Yeah. It's one of those ones when you start looking for your ratings of films, you're like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit.
Mm. And maybe I will stray into some TV shows as well. See what happens. Mm. See how I'm feeling.
Yes.
But yes, yeah, you can get onto that Patreon channel at www.patreon.com/filmbusters and come and join and see what you think. It's very cheap. And we have a lot of fun over there. Should we get onto the film?
I'm going to invite somebody onto the stage now who wants to talk to you. And I want you to listen to him. He's a striking minor, and he has something he wants to say to you.
I've had a lot of new experiences during the strike. Speaking in public, standing on a picket line, and now I'm in a gay bar.
Well, if you don't like it, you can go home.
As a matter of fact, I do like it. Beer's a bit expensive, mine. But really, there's only one difference between this and a bar in South Wales. The women. They're a lot more feminine than you.
Okay, everyone. Today we're doing Pride from 2014 by Matthew Warkus. It's a spoiler episode. If you haven't seen it, we'll be spoiling it terribly for you. It's based on true events, so you might already kind of know. But either way, we're going to spoil it. Today, there is one person who has been on an episode we have done before, an actor who have been on an episode we've done before. Do you have any idea who it is, and do you want a clue, Adam?
Bill Nye?
No, he's never.
Andrew Scott?
No, he's never.
I think who else is in this now? Oh, George McKay?
No, we haven't done George McKay either.
Oh, we swear we did 1975.
I'll give you a clue. We've never done 1975.
1917, sorry, isn't it?
1917. I just went along with the year you said. The clue for you is it helms a scene in which there is a booby-trapped coffin that's like some roller coaster ride where the skeleton pops up and then the eyeballs explode. Do you have any recollection?
When we did like Pan's Labyrinth or something like that?
No. This is even stupider than Pan's Labyrinth. This is also one of our most enjoyable episodes because we were together.
Oh, what, from Tomb Raider?
It's Tomb Raider? Do you not remember that scene in Tomb Raider?
No. I don't remember a lot about Tomb Raider. I literally only remember the guy waving his hat.
I know.
And the bit with the plane. There's a bit like,
yes.
I remember there was a plane crash.
That's in the trailer, so that's probably helps.
Yeah, that's probably why.
There's a bit in the film where they get into the tomb. And you know how like things are just booby-trapped? It's like Indiana Jones. But they booby-trapped a coffin where the skeleton inside lifts up like it's in like a ghost train. It's like, why would you do that? And then the eyeballs explode. It's almost just like a jump scare. It's not like to kill anyone who's in the crypt. It just jumps up for some reason.
Like on a haunted house ride.
Yes. Stupidness.
Who's the person in it?
It is Tomb Raider's dad in it. Do you not remember who Tomb Raider's dad is?
No.
Dominic West.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A lot better in this film than he was in Tomb Raider. I can tell you that.
Yeah, I don't think everybody would be.
But yes, Adam, do you want to give a little plot summary of this film?
Yeah, so this film is about a group of, let's say, lesbians and gays in the film who decide to team up and help the miners' cause. And they team up with this group of miners from South Wales, and together they both try and help people in their right for justice and all of that. And the parties from opposite sides of England at this time just come together and fight a common cause.
Absolutely.
Which is Margaret Thatcher's government.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We spoke about this last week, Adam. This is where Ben would normally do the facts.
Yes.
Did you get together some facts for this film?
Well, I was just going to try and pick them off the things. It's a lot harder than it looks, actually, because some of it just depends whether you're like, ooh, this is that. But anyway, let's move on. So this film was premiered at the Cannes Film Festival in 2014, where it received a standing ovation and won the Queer Palm Award. And then it was later released in the UK in September, where it did very well by the sounds of it. It came out on the same weekend as Lucy. Remember that film?
Oh, yes. Into Obscurity, that film.
And The Box Trolls. So I think out of those three films, it probably had the best longevity, let's say, out of it.
Yes, I'd say so.
It was controversially rated a 15 in the UK, which people weren't too happy about, and that was because of the people wearing bondage clothing. And I think there was people saying because it involved gay content that it was rated a little bit harsher, but eventually it was brought down.
There's nothing in this film other than swear words.
Yeah, and in America it remains whatever they call it out there. It's a 17, basically. NC-17 or whatever.
Yeah.
It's won a lot of awards. Some of the real people in the film, who the story is based on, were actually in this film at the very end on the Bridge of Westminster.
Oh, wow, wicked.
Yes, the person who plays Reggie and Ray were there, and Genneth, who's played by Andrew Scott, and Genneth's mum were all in the bit when they branch across Westminster Bridge.
Oh, wicked, that's nice.
And one last thing, do you know the bit where George MacKay's character is being the photographer at the event?
Yeah.
Apparently he actually took pictures doing that, and apparently aren't the DVD extras.
Oh, wicked. Oh, I didn't actually look at the extras on my DVD, or my Blu-ray.
They've been on there somewhere, apparently.
Oh, wicked. I might have a little look.
There's some lovely. Very all over the place.
Well, I enjoyed them nonetheless, Adam. This is your pick, so you get to decide what order you want our first impressions in.
I think I'll go first, because I think I know what your opinion on this film is.
Okay.
I don't think you can undoubtedly doubt this is a good film. It's a very well-told story of what happened. I personally don't really have any qualms with the... I don't think there's anything I can take, any negatives really to come out of the film. I think the only thing was a bit of, why did they pick these people in South Wales? I think that was the only thing I thought they could maybe explain a bit better in the storyline. And they just kind of seemed to come out of nowhere, and that these were suddenly the people that they picked.
Mm.
I didn't really feel like they went around a lot of things, but it's a great film, it's a good story. I didn't know really any of it, and it's nice to see everything that's come of it, and how they're still, to this day, backing each other up. But yeah, it's a real good feel story. It makes you almost shed a tear at a couple of moments, especially at the very end. But yeah, I think it's a great film, it's a great story. It's very well put together, very well acted, and yeah.
Beautiful. I'm happy with that. You want my first impressions?
Go for it.
Okay, well, I think this film is just pure optimistic joy. It's like pretty much for the duration of the runtime, I either had a little bubble in my throat, or I'm just like straight up tearing up. It's like pure optimism and heart put into a film. And it's British, which gave it even more mega props. It's well made. Those shots in Wales are incredibly beautiful to look at. Yeah. Especially in the snow. I love that. And every character, and I mean like every character for me, feels fleshed out and real. And then having all of that set to like a union song score just fills you with like a sense of like absolute pride and empowerment. Yeah. And it's just, for me, it's straight up fantastic. And this should be shown in every damn school to educate backwards motherfuckers out there as well as their parents. And I personally think this film's incredible. And that is my first impressions.
Well, it's your second impression because you've seen it before, isn't it?
Yes. I've seen it before.
Did you give it a 10 out of 10 before?
9 out of 10. It was that.
Okay.
When you saw it on my list, it was 9 out of 10, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
But we will see at the end if it stands.
It changes. It goes down. It might go up. I don't think it's going down by the sounds of it, but...
Oh, we shall see.
The only thing that's going down is the government in this film. Even though the miners did lose their battle, technically, but...
Yes. But it's all about the journey, isn't it?
Yeah, I think... I don't know why. I think it's one of these weird, hard films that... To talk in depth, I don't really know how we're going to do this, but...
I know how to do it.
What, we're going to go through bit by bit?
No. Let's talk about the characters.
Okay.
So, I think, for starters, let's just talk about Ben. Ben Schnetzer, who plays Mark. So, this is basically the leader who's, like, the innovator.
Yeah.
And who sadly died age 26.
Yes.
I love how unapologetic he is, and how you can always see the cogs turning in his head about how can we make something out of this situation we're in, even to when they're getting the negative press, and then it's like, let's use this bad press, man. With this is their own advice, and they make the concert. I think he's wonderful. Yeah. He's great. He's played so well, and I loved as well a great moment. Do you know when they first meet Paddy Considine?
Yeah.
And he says about members, pass on my regards, and he's like, you see the cogs turning, and he's like, no, this, I'm gonna take you to see the people, and they take him to the gay bar. And he's like, it's such a great moment. And I think this, I think he's a great speechman. Is that a word? A speechman?
Great public talker.
A public speaker?
Yeah.
But, he's a maestro at doing that. The only time you ever see landing is when they first go to the like the village hall where all the miners
go. Yeah, he doesn't know what to expect.
Yeah, which is tense as fuck.
Yeah.
It's fucking tense as fuck. I love that. Just the build up to that is wonderful. Just because you can feel like, oh shit. It feels like they're stepping back in time as soon as they get to that village.
Well, obviously, it's supposed to be the 80s, yeah.
Yeah, but no, but even
yeah,
so,
going back
it's
to like the 50s.
Yeah, yeah. Going back to fucking Saturday night, Sunday morning times.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. Like it's these like workers. They're all workers. It's nothing about it's this new age hasn't come in yet. And you could just feel it's like, this isn't going to go well. This is not going to go
well. When you're watching it, you're laughing at it. But yeah, in there, there's just like, yeah, it manages to get both sides across. Sort of like,
yes,
this is funny, but also you do feel for them in this situation because, yeah.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. But I think, I mean, even so, it's like, this is how I felt on a second watch. I was like, it's so exciting to think that it goes from this to how it ends up.
Yeah.
I just love it. It's so good. And
that's because people believe in each other, and it is all about, it's all about community. It's all about community. It's all about a spirit, and it's all about leaders and what people actually believe in the right thing. As long as enough people believe in the right thing, eventually, hopefully, everyone else will suddenly follow. And then you look back on it being like, hey, why did we not do that from the beginning?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, that's what it definitely fell flat, that one where he says, they say one in five people are gay, and it's like, so one in five of the miners. It's like, man, you shouldn't have said that. That was not a good thing to deliver, one of the first things you say.
Yeah.
But you kind of feel like he was at that moment getting a bit rolled up about it, so
he wanted to kind of like pulling out the cars. He's like, I'm going down all guns blazing almost, but...
Absolutely, yeah. Shout out to another character in this film, Bromley. Ben, you must be happy about this.
Yeah, he's from Bromley, isn't he?
Yeah. Represented Bromley as George McKay. He was a sweet little character.
I think he's like, it's those different sides of it. Everyone is, I think if you're watching it and you're from these communities, you're like, oh wow, like that's kind of what you might be going through at the time, and fair play to the man for staying up for it. And it's that, yeah, not everybody's living the open life and he's still just exploring and yeah, and he's dealing with other battles as well as what's going on here.
Absolutely. And I feel like he is almost the... Whenever you see like a movie about a young man who's gay, who's not come out yet, who's finding his feet in the world, this is kind of that side of the story. It's almost like got another movie inside this movie.
Yeah.
And this is like Beautiful Thing.
Yeah.
This is the Beautiful Thing side of thing, and it's so sweet, and I love his arc of just kind of coming to terms with it and like being like, fuck what anyone else has to say. He starts going, I don't want to be too obvious and not want to hold the sign, and then he's like one of the proudest.
But then also he's still struggling at the same time of, I don't know, fighting the battles even once he comes out of like, well, then what does his parents think, and then all of these kind of little things are going on.
Because he's making out he's at pastry or baking school or something.
Yeah, that's what he said. He went off to make pastries in Wales.
Yeah, it was like a running joke. They kept giving him pastries to take back to his mum. And it's like finally he confronts him at the end. And he just calls his brother-in-law a dick and saying that tight perm doesn't suit you, to his sister. It was a great little ending to that kind of arc.
What way to like burn out your bridges though.
Yes, but also it's, you know, it's not just like it's, there's levels there, because the dad's also trying to call after him when he's walking away, but it's like, man, you've already burnt those bridges. It's time you can come and mend them, you can come and find me, kind of thing.
But then also you've got the other side of it when I can't remember what his character's name was, the one who had was the second person to get diagnosed with HIV.
Oh yeah, so let's move on to Dominic West's character.
I got the characters confused. But when they say, "Oh, I haven't been back to Wales because you haven't spoken to your parents," then she's like,
"Oh,
well, have you spoken to
Andrew
your
Scott?"
Parent? Yes.
Andrew Scott's Gethin. Yeah. Yeah, talk about him then. Yeah, let's talk about Gethin. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's the other side of it, of maybe people who are living with the guilt on the other side of, yes, your parents disowned you, but then they're trying to say to you, when you come of an age and you get to a certain point, you could also bend the other way. I mean, it's obviously more difficult and a bit more, I mean, that's a bit more victim blaming in the situations, but it was like an interesting side that I don't think they mentioned in a film like this before.
Yeah, it's definitely, because I think it also helps the fact that you don't actually get too much of an in-depth like narrative about why, the exact reason why he left. He was obviously felt uncomfortable and shunned from the community, but it's never because his mum was so horrible to him.
Mm.
It could have just been that the one time he tried to confront his mum and tell her, that she kind of was like shocked or didn't immediately accept it, so he just left. But he never stayed around to kind of see where that would go.
Yeah,
and yeah,
that was a bit what like George McKay characters did. So he's kind of just went.
Yeah, but the mum was a bit of a bitch, and so was the rest of the family. But I like that little the Gethin story was nice. And when he goes in, and he's like he goes to Wales for the first time. And it's like, you can bring the gays and lesbians here, but don't bring any of those North Wales people up here. It's great. And it feels so tense for a moment. You're like, oh shit, is there really like some kind of boundaries between these two people? It was a great little punch. It was good. And then he ends up rebelling, doesn't he? Getting beaten up, put in hospital. But the mum's there. He made the move.
Yep. Yep.
And the mum shows up to him in hospital, so nice little beautiful story. A little beautiful ending for him.
I think it really is a credit to this film of like, looking through the list, there's about 10 main characters in this film.
Mm. That's what I mean. I feel like a lot of people are fleshed out.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone, and it's like, the other one of my favourite ones was the lady who started up, who stood up from the beginning. I can't remember her name now.
Yes, she's great. She's Jessica Gunning, who played Sean. Her name
Sean, that's it. Sean. And then also, like, she becomes a little MP out of it. Like,
yeah, she made movements.
Yeah, exactly. It's like people understanding their world. Like, without these storylines, these people wouldn't have actually ever. It's like it's helping other people who weren't involved in either movement. Well, they were, but they were not. Well, I mean, obviously, they are directly effective, but almost it's almost collateral that her life has taken this turn because of what has happened here.
Yeah, twist of fate. It's like she pretty much is the one who kind of kickstarted everything by standing up in that meeting.
Yeah.
And then also taking the initiative to go to the police station.
Yeah.
She's like, tell Martin to mind the kids, I'm going to the police station.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, she's smarter than she, like you said, she's always smarter. It's like people showing your worth in a world when you haven't had many chances to.
Yeah. And I love the relationship with her and her husband as well. She's like she seems like the one who's got the trousers in that relationship.
Well, she's got more of the drive, I think, and more of the determination.
For sure.
And he's just happy to do his thing, and
it never seems like they're ever bad people. It's just well, especially her. Like, the husband is more, he doesn't want to like bring any bad blood to the community. That's what he's here.
Yeah, it's one of those, he doesn't hate them, he just doesn't, like, this is our own world, and...
Yeah, he's scared to rock the boat.
Yeah.
Basically. And, but they had, I love that little relationship between them, and I think, Sean's a great character. Great character. And just them as a... Let's talk about the rest of the women in the group as well. Like, what's her name? Imelda Staunton, Hafina. She's the leader of the community. She's great as well, man. I spoke about this in Patreon before, but I think it's so funniest scene of the whole film when they go to London because they're going to the gig, and they go to the bedroom
and they find all the porn,
all the dildos. And he's like, I haven't seen one of these in ages. And it's so funny, man. It's so heartwarming just to see these old ladies and just all giggling about this.
Yeah, I did think that was a bit where the film lost its way in a weird
oh,
way,
really?
Not lost its way of story wise. But it was just like suddenly they're back in Wales, suddenly they're back in London. Like, where are they actually in between all of this? It was moving at such a quick pace. It was like, are we in London now? Are we in Wales now? What's like?
Are you thinking about suddenly... how long it takes to drive?
Oh yeah, but like George. McKay's character, Bromley, or whatever, at one point was just like, oh, you got to go to do this. And then suddenly he's like at St. James's Hospital in London.
Yeah.
And the next thing, he just turns up at the end of the parade when the. And it's like, how did you get there? Like, are you. And then they're all suddenly there now. It's like, oh, okay, now they've all gone back again. Or they've gone. Yeah.
That's what happens at the end, isn't it? He turns up for when all the strikes have ended. Yeah. And then. What's her name? Sean says, come on, I'll take you home. As if it's down the road.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what's happening here? Like,
I get that. I did think the same thing. But I thought, shit, they were going there anyway, weren't they? They were going there. She wanted to go visit him in hospital. That's what you've got to do. You've got to drive.
In hospital in London, though.
I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, we don't want to see them driving around.
I know, but I don't know. It just felt like, I don't know. I mean, you'll take an artistic license, I think, there.
Yes. But I thought they, like, going back to Athena, the Milda Staunton character, I loved how much backbone and drive. Like, she was, like, a leader in that community and going up to, like, people saying, go on, go and mingle. Get up and mingle. Stop talking between yourselves. It's a great little thing. And I want to talk about one of the other ladies in the community centre. Gwen, and if you didn't think this when you're watching this, man, she is the female Bricktop. Do you remember? She looks like Bricktop.
Wait there, hold up.
She's the one who's always like, I need you to clear some things up about lesbians for me.
Oh, yes.
Look at her face. She's Bricktop. Yeah. I had to look on that. I was like, is this his sister?
Yeah,
just looks so much like her.
Yeah,
but
she's supposed to ask all the questions. Like,
yes, she is like the comedy relief for me. I thought she was so funny. Like, your gays have arrived, stuff like that. She just had so many good punchlines, and then you're thinking she's got a big question to ask about how lesbians have sex or something.
Yeah,
it's like, you're all vegetarians.
Yeah, I'm vegan actually.
Yeah, we're all vegans, and she's like, oh, vegan. And then at the end, she brings the cucumber sandwiches. I think she's such a great character, such a great character, and obviously the annoying woman as well, the bitch in the group. She was. I feel like there had to be some kind of controversial person among the community,
because
it kind of just waters it all down into all focusing, concentrated to one horrible woman, and she was mega bitch, man, such a mega bitch. But let's go back to the nicer people. Dominic West's Jonathan. He is another wonderful, eccentric character.
Yeah.
And the whole dancing thing, where he has the massive dance routine, and then he inspires everyone to dance. And then
they're all getting the dance lessons off him, and it's like...
So good. This film was just so heartwarming. Like, I appreciate it even more on this second watch, just how heartwarming and beautiful this film is.
You get excited because you know what's coming along and all that kind of stuff.
That's it. I just had a massive smile on my face the whole time. And it's one of the lines when his first kind of introduction is when he's about to drive to Wales. They've decided where they want to go. And he's like, where are we going? Wales? Fuck me. Someone better roll me a spliffette.
Oh, yeah.
Like a spliffette. so good. Another great character. And one of the first people to contract HIV.
Yeah, and nuts. We didn't die, did he? Was he still alive?
Still alive at 65, it said at the end of the episode. Fucking power to him, man. He thinks it's the weed that's doing it. Maybe it is.
He was saying that in the hospital.
Yeah.
Also, the guy the guy who's in Misfits. What's his name?
Yes, nice little character, Joseph Gilbert.
I always love. Yeah, I just always think he's everything I've ever seen in him, and he's been fucking great. I love that guy.
Yeah, I think he's wonderful as well. He didn't really have much to do in this film.
No, he was kind of like almost the what do you call it? The grounded, kind of, I don't know, voice of reason almost in some ways.
Yeah, yeah. He was definitely like in the shadow of
yeah, he was just
of
kind
Mark.
Of making stuff happen, like the cog almost in the group to keep them turning, keep them together, and
yeah,
pulling
but
them
he's
all back
I
in
love
and
watching
too
him.
Far.
Yeah. Yeah, I always love watching him and everything. He's a great actor.
Mm.
And he just comes with it, just the way he speaks and his
immediately
delivery.
Funny.
Yeah, he's just always funny.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah, he's great. And I think there's just one more character I want to address, and that is the Bill Nighy character,
oh,
Cliff.
Yeah.
Which is...
Well, it goes back to that first comment of one in five are gay.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And it's one of those ones where on the second watch, you get all the little kind of glances and looks, and when certain things are said, it kind of cuts
I did
to
kind
him.
Of know that coming, like,
oh,
you
did
kind
you?
Of sense, I don't know, it wasn't, yeah, it wasn't a shock, it was like when she said it, it wasn't a shock to her.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think you could kind of, there was always going to be one character, I felt, from the Welsh side that was going to come over, or admit it, and it was kind of like, yeah, you could see, he was so happy and so comfortable from the beginning, like,
yeah.
And even one of the women did, didn't they? One of the women kissed one of the other girls. I remember that bit.
Yeah, she'd always... It was kind of alluded to the fact that she'd been married for so long or with the same man for so long that she'd never really explored or experimented with her own kind of sexuality.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was nice. But the Bill... Like, Bill Nighy, I love... He's just... The way he acted that with... He can barely look anyone in the eyes... Because I feel like he's like scared to cut that he's going to be found out or something, and but yeah, that scene as you said when he's with Imelda Staunton, and he's like, "I'm gay,"
yeah,
and she's just like,
"I know."
I've noticed. When did you find out? But I can't speak for everyone else, but since 1968,
yeah,
it's like it's so lovely. It's just heartwarming. I think it's fucking great, man. I love it. What would you say your best bit is in the film?
I think it's the ending. It's just like, because there was that whole thing of like when it finished, all like the strikes over. It's like, oh, what are they doing for us now? Like they've it's a one way street, and then it all came in. It's like, okay, no, like,
yeah,
it was that kind of. It was. I mean, it's summed up the film perfectly, and how everybody came, not even the people who didn't, weren't on the board at the beginning or were mean or a bit pushy. Like they came there to support them, and it was kind of like a,
And I love that little. Paragraph at the end saying about like the gay and lesbian rights got passed through years after, and the only union that blocked it was the miners. And it's like, oh man, perfect way to end it.
Yeah,
perfect way to end it. Absolutely.
And yeah, it's just a lovely film. It's feel good. It does. Yeah, it's just and it's also a great story to be told and like memorable. Mm. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. And one more scene I want to talk about. Which I thought was really sweet is where the lesbian group they kind of wanted to branch off because they said we need to address the female side, like the wives of the miners, because you're supporting all the men and everything, but what about the women?
Yeah.
And then a couple of scenes afterwards after Mark stood up and he's done like a speech saying we need to do something massive, which ends up being the concert, the women just all start standing up singing, and I think it's like, oh man, because it's all about being there supporting, and it's like we're here, we're women, but we're here because we want to be, and I thought it's so beautiful. I thought it was a really beautiful moment, and
I think
everyone's singing.
I think the one thing the film, I mean, it addressed it in the film, and I think it probably just gone into it a little bit more is when they were saying, well, why are you helping them and you're not helping us? Like, we need more help than they do. And I think that is the whole thing. It comes down to ultimately of maybe of they maybe should have done it, but I don't know why they didn't, because they were kind of going for the feel-good factor on this film. But of why are these people putting so much effort and time into supporting these miners when, yes, they're kind of helping them, but at the same time, you should be helping your own community first. Like, you only kind of help when you've built a table big enough to start sharing at. I think that maybe is the side of the film that it could have delved into a little bit more rather than just kind of him getting beaten up because of it.
But I kind of I get the sentiment, though, because you're...
I mean, I get you're putting more numbers on board, but yeah, you've got to remember, like, your own community is dying every day. They're not just losing their jobs, they are actually dying. Like, I would say, in argument, like, it's probably more of a serious situation going on at home, and you're spending all this time and effort. I mean, in the long run, it's not paid really... off, but...
It's not really all of them, though, is it? It's not. It's not like
oh, no,
every
it's like five
member of the community.
Of them, but like, yeah, I mean, in the long term, it's paid off because it helped, but and it helped bigger. But there's a short term aspect of when there must have been more pushback from their own community into about why they were doing this.
For sure.
And then it was portrayed in the film.
Yeah,
I think that was another side of the issues you could have got into of like. But I get why they didn't because they don't want to go. You want to focus on that, yeah.
The only real moment we got was when he's kind of addressing everyone at the beginning, isn't he? And he's saying, I live in a mining town and I got beat up every day. That's kind of the only kind of addressing we get.
Yeah, and also he gets it on the street. Like, they're harassing him, aren't they? But, yeah, I don't know. I think that was
a little
bit of a qualm with the film. But
I get that. But I kind of understand the sentiment because of the fact that yes, a whole community can protest and do parades, but then going and towards and helping someone with a similar cause and then almost bringing them into the fold and make you sympathise, because it's like, well, I sympathise with you, we've got exactly the same cause, so obviously you should sympathise with us. And I kind of like the sentiment of that.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful, this film. But I want to know what you rate it.
I give it, it's a very solid 9 out of 10.
Oh, that is beautiful. That is beautiful. I thought you were going to go for an 8.
No, I can't knock it for anything apart from if you're really kind of nitpicking at it, but...
That's good. I'm very happy. I give it a 10.
It's gone up to a 10 out of 10.
It's gone up to a 10. I was watching it and I was like, it's just perfect. There's nothing wrong with this film.
Yeah.
I just think it's so beautiful. So bloody beautiful. And I was smiling the whole way through, bubbling my throat, crying. And it's
Did
like,
you watch
what?
It with Zoe this time?
No. I had to watch my own because I had to get it. Watching. Yeah. I had an hour or two spare, and I was like, this is the moment. I need to watch it.
Yeah.
Especially on the big screen. On a Blu-ray, I thought it was the perfect time. I am so glad that you rate it at 9 out of 10. That's
sure
pretty
Ben
special.
Will as well, I reckon.
I don't know.
I'll be surprised if he goes below an 8.
Yes, that is the other thing, guys. Ben has not seen this film, so we can't officially place it. We can... Yeah. There's probably no point actually placing it right now. But I'm hoping it's going to be high. I guess we can let people know when it actually is officially placed, but I don't think we should tell Ben.
We've got a lot
of
updating to do when Ben gets back.
Ben's not going to listen to this episode until he's watched it, so
yeah, we'll work it out. It might be a while down the line when it
exactly
when it actually gets.
Yeah, do you want to hear what some Twitter followers have to say about this film?
Go on.
Okay, so we've got Gavin Mann, and he says, "I wouldn't be surprised if any of you gave this top marks. I immediately bought the DVD after watching it as I loved it that much, and I always bring this up as a recommendation when given the chance. If Dominic West disco dancing in the 80s hasn't won you over, I don't know what will." Well, Gavin, it got top marks from me.
Yes.
And I mean, that's pretty close to top marks from Adam, so you should be happy with that. And then we also have Sean Powder Nicholson, who says, "Love it. Makes me feel warm inside."
Aww. That's all you can ask for, isn't it?
Of course. Beautiful. Well, thanks, guys. Thank you for that. And that is the Pride episode. Pretty wonderful. Should we move on to what our patrons have to say?
Go for it.
Okay. So, our patrons, they let us know what they've been watching and whether we should watch something or we shouldn't watch something, depending on what they thought about it. You can do that at www.patreon.com/filmbusters and become part of the family, just like the likes of
Luke Bennett,
Francis Ciborini,
Andy Bishop,
Steve and Mark from Movie Drone.
Yes, you can also join Brent from Home Video Hustle.
You can join Mr. Luke Human.
Yes, you can. You've got Nerd Revert.
You've got Julio from The Contrarians.
And you have Jamie Russell.
And you got Katie and Oti from For Your Reference.
Yes, lovely bunch of people there.
So first of all, we've got Luke Heumann, and he says, "The Bad, Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 3. Oh my God, Luke. A very flimsy plot with even flimsier subplots and inexplicable main character introductions combined with the campus visuals, yet lead it to a messy experience that fails to settle on either tone or theme. The emotional beats, however, are well-placed and genuinely moving. It's just a shame they are surrounded by such obvious dross. Also, poor music choices, but that must be my age. It's a sad indictment of the studio's direction that this is still the best of Marvel's recent cinematic output." If we can just address last episode. Luke Heumann gave very high marks to that Knock Knock film.
Oh, yes.
And you're saying this is bad?
I haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I probably might back him up on it, to be honest. But I haven't really cared for many of the Marvel films for a while. Even the second one wasn't all that, but
most of the world doesn't back up this statement, Luke. But we love you. You're a beautiful man. And we will let it pass because you're a wonderful patron. But let's talk about the good. The Woman King. Essentially a coming-of-age tale set against a provocative historical backdrop. This is an engaging and dense film that does not shy away from its themes of gender politics, slavery, colonization, and cultural responsibility. There's also the danger of presenting the black man or woman as spectacle. Although I'm not particularly qualified to comment, the pedigree of the movie suggests that this is not the intention. That said, it's difficult to deny the beauty on show in this movie. The landscape is shot terrifically, but it's the depiction of its inhabitant that shows a celebration of African culture in the same way that Black Panther was applauded for. This has been on my watch list for a while.
I know, I keep meaning to watch it. It's coming to Sky now as well. So yeah.
I keep seeing it, and I keep meaning to watch it.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know. It feels like you said, it seems like quite a big film, like a big serious film. And I haven't really been in the mood for them recently, so.
Yeah, you really need to be in the mood for it, probably. But it's definitely going to be on my watch list soon, I promised Luke. So I will let you know what I think. Maybe on an end-of-month roundup. Who knows?
We shall see.
On to you, Adam.
Yes, so we're going to hear from Julio. He says, "Best, hey, that new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle was pretty good fun. Great animation." What did I say?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. It sounded like
Turtles. Great animation, a lot of heart, which was unexpected. And it earned so much goodwill that I didn't mind how it started to drag towards the end. Better than that new Spider-Verse movie. That's right. I mean, the new Spider-Verse film was great, Julio, so I think that is a big statement.
This must be even better.
But I don't know. I've never really watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Never really been my thing.
Me neither. Like, but the animation does look pretty beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're not like, oh my God, like people absolutely love them. Like, I think they're a little bit, never really got into them.
But I feel like I might be having a watch of it soon because Woody's really into them at the moment. He doesn't watch any Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but he has like the figures and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So I feel like he'd be up his street.
Okay. Well, we'll have to find out then.
Yeah, we will.
He says, "Worst, the things I do for my beloved Winona. Finally was able to catch Stay Cool on a streaming service and it was dud. It's one of those stories where a guy comes back to his hometown to face the past's insecurities, blah, 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 blah. The lead actor is the brother of the writer / director and gets to have Winona Ryder and Hilary Duff lusting after him. And if you think that something about the age range doesn't add up, you're 100% correct."
I mean, no.
Yeah, it just sounds a bit sleazy by the sounds of it.
I thought Stay Cool was like the sequel to Be Cool.
I don't know, to be honest.
That's
never heard of either of them.
That's Get Shorty, and that's Stay and Be Cool. That's the sequel, isn't it?
I don't know. To be
maybe.
Honest,
I don't know.
I'll take your word on that one.
This sounds pretty terrible.
Yes, it doesn't.
Do like a bit of Winona Ryder though.
Yeah.
Hilary Duff. What does she do? She's not going to be in anything good, is she?
Who knows? If you're Julio, you just only go for Winona Ryder. You don't go for Hilary Duff.
Exactly. Well, we should have watched it anyway. People should stay away, apparently.
Yeah.
Stay Cool, you should stay away from. But thank you, guys. That's our patron roundup this episode. We hope you enjoyed that. Stay away or watch those films, depending on what it is. And we'll be going on to the next film. And Ben will be back. Do you remember what the film is that we're going to be doing from 1960?
I actually don't remember, and I was going to ask you guys earlier today.
Well, I've got it on here. It is called... Where is it?
Oh, it's a Japanese film, isn't it?
Yes, Japanese film by Kurosawa. And it's The Bad Sleep Well.
Okay, yes.
And we're going in background blind. Background blind for this one.
Yeah.
Apart from you, who read the description.
Yeah, I can't remember what it actually meant.
Well, I'm excited for it. So that'll be next time, everyone. We hope you enjoyed the Pride episode. And I guess now we're going to talk about our patron topic, which is, Adam?
We are going to talk about our favourite LGBT plus films.
Yeah, boy. Wicked. Well, see you next time, guys, or we'll see you on the Patreon. Filmbusters.